the last week, I should say, of a three-week lecture series out there. And I had just finished Sunday before last, or Wednesday before last, the first week of the lecture series. So I started on the last week of it, last Wednesday night, and I talked about a long crack that runs all the way down the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and goes all the way down around the southern tip of Africa through the Indian Ocean, through the Gulf of Aden, up both sides of the Red Sea, and northward through Israel to link up with another fault that runs right off the coastline of the Tiber River, on which the city of Rome sits. Talked a great deal about this crack. Talked about how it was spreading apart, as you can see here by these red arrows, all the way around through the Gulf of Aden and up the Red Sea. But all of a sudden right here, in the Gulf of Aqaba, which is the northernmost extension of the Red Sea, and where the land of Israel begins at the end of the Gulf of Aqaba, it's been locked for a very long time. Talked about that a great deal. What I'm presenting to you is things that have been psychologically checked out. And the things that I'm telling you are actually happening over there. The conclusions I draw from them are based on the Bible. All the way down through this crack, it goes down to Ethiopia and Kenya. This part of the Earth's crust is moving in this direction, this part in this direction. And in some places through here, you can actually look down through these cracks and see the blood-red liquid of the Earth called magma. And this is spreading quite a bit. It's not spreading as much as the Gulf of Aden. Down through here and between Ethiopia and Sudan, it's spreading, as you can see on this diagram. It's spreading more, you can see over here in Aden. Now, the important thing to understand anytime you're dealing with anything is that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was not anything created that was not created by God. So the important thing to remember in all dealings with Scripture and prophecy is that God owns, operates, and controls this earth. He can do anything he wants to with it. Now you see this little slash line here, black slash line? I didn't put any of these on here. This is just a natural chart that I took out of National Geographic, 28 years ago. And it goes all the way up here into the Gulf of Aqaba right here, is the land of Israel. This has been rapidly spreading apart for a long, long time. And it's putting tremendous pressure on this section here that's locked. Now, there's no question that this is going to rip open. The only question is when. And that's what I'm dealing with here, because this keeps spreading this apart here. Sooner or later, this part here that's locked together can no longer take the tensional force with this spreading apart. It's going to rip open like a ripe watermelon. That's the way that the Red Sea was formed. It's the way Israel's going to be formed. That the great rift is going to tear open up the Jordan River Valley. Now, this is not theoretical. This is actually happening. You see all these red lines on here? They're cracks in the crust of the earth. The Arabian plate is floating in this direction. The whole African continent is floating in this direction, in this direction, and this direction. It's going around in a circle. The whole African continent is going around like this. It's going around like a clock blows, counterclockwise. Over in this section, it's causing this to spread apart from this section over here that's moving directly toward Iran. This is not theoretical. It's a fact. It's also a fact that this part of the crust of Africa, as it turns around, is being jammed up against the Italian Blue Hill. And it's also true that it's subducting here. And that's the reason you have all those volcanic eruptions over here. That's the reason you have the earthquake activity and the volcanic eruptions along this side of the fault line, further south down in Africa and out in Saudi Arabia and in Iran. Right up in here, outside of Rome, there's an old ancient volcanic caldera. In the tribulation period, that's going to rip open and fulfill chapter 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation. And later on, down the road, I'll get around to that. People have asked me, well, how can the whole African continent be floating on the underground liquid lakes of rock? How can Saudi Arabia be floating on these underground liquid lakes of rock and moving toward Iran? How is that possible? The liquid rock is coming up here and forming new crust. Over here, it's subducting. Iran has a certain type of rock strata. It's lighter than what's underneath Saudi Arabia. Underneath all this oil in Saudi Arabia, believe it or not, is a heavy basaltic rock layer. It's heavier than that of Iran's granitic shield. And when this pushes against it, it causes Iran to come up over the top of it, adds additional weight on it, and this part here then subducts underneath Iran. That's what causes all those earthquakes in Iran. Now, to people who are not trained in geology, there's a tendency to say, well, that's just scientific mumbo-jumbo. That's just scientific opinion. No, we've been able to photograph underneath the earth through seismic tomology, and we know what it's doing in that area. It's doing something like you see on this chart. Now, notice I am not making my own material. I'm taking scientific journals to show you what's happening. This over here would be Saudi Arabia, where all that oil is. Over here would be Iran. And up here would be the mountains that run down through this area. And whenever this heavy basaltic shield pushes against from Saudi Arabia against this lighter shield, the lighter shield rises up over the top of it. That's how you can keep doing this year after year after year after year. And as new crust is formed on this side, over here, it subducts underneath the Zagros Mountains, and that's what causes all the earthquakes there, or at least most of them. So the whole Saudi Arabian Peninsula is floating in this direction. This comes from the Middle East. It comes from oil company diagrams and charts. They have to be familiar with the topography there underneath in order to know where to drill for oil. And here is, like over here, this would be Saudi Arabia. It's moving in this direction. All this would be Iran. Since this is lighter, as the heavier basaltic crust pushes against it, this rides up over the top of it. But as it rides up over the top, the additional weight on the already heavy magma and the pressure in here causes this to become more pliable, and this subducts underneath the lighter material, which rides up on the top. Now, when I began to read and study the Bible, I believed exactly what it said. I don't have to have any of this to believe the Bible. It's not necessary. I believe the Bible. But it's been a blessing to me because it's interesting to see God's hand at work. He said certain things were going to happen in the book of Revelation and in other prophecies in the Old Testament. And I believe they're going to happen. I believe that long before I ever became a geologist. And since I believe they're going to happen, I thought it's very interesting to see that God's already starting to work on it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. No one really knows when that happened. You don't have to know. All you have to know is what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. At one time, there was no Gulf of Aden. It would be just like this chart here. This is from the annual meeting of the Israel Geological Society, which I belonged for many years, but it got so expensive, I haven't sent in my dues this year. Just haven't got around to it. But this is an article about this in 1987. I started doing these lectures in 1978, some 9 years before this report ever came out. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, Saudi Arabia and Africa were joined together. There was no Gulf of Aden. There was no Red Sea. There was no Gulf of Suez. There was, of course, no Suez Canal. The Suez Canal is man-made. And there was no water in the Jordan River Valley. All of a sudden, the first section that opened up and split was the Gulf of Aden. The next section that ripped open was the Red Sea. At the same time, this began to rip open down here at the south. The next thing that ripped open was the Gulf of Suez here. And the last thing to rip open was what we call the Gulf of Aqaba. So if you look back at all this, and what's been happening is history. First God ripped the Gulf of Aden, then the Red Sea, then the Gulf of Suez, then he ripped open the Gulf of Aqaba. That means the only section he hasn't ripped open is the section that the Bible indicates he is going to rip open, cause a great earthquake, and cause the greatest geological transformation of landscape in Israel that the world has ever known. Now, this is from the annual meeting. It's the after effects of interaction between Africa and Eurasia. The major line of rifting ran along the Gulf of Suez, the Red Sea, and the Gulf of Aden. This was the first phase when a major part of the African continent moved away from Saudi Arabia. That's what began happening right here. Now, part two, it caused the tearing apart of Israel and Sinai from Saudi Arabia. That was phase two. The only section that hasn't ripped open is the Gulf, is the Jordan River Valley itself. This is the Jordan River Valley, and this is what's going to rip open. This Gulf of Suez has already ripped open. They've already built the Suez Canal across here. This Gulf of Aqaba has already ripped open. You're going to have this rip open for 185 miles or 1,600 furlongs. This is one of the most remarkable prophecies in the Bible because you can see God's hand at work in it clearly. We know the history of the Jordan River Valley. You don't hear me talking about dates and times because nobody really knows that much about it. In the beginning, there was a split and there was a rift valley formed and the liquid rock came up. We then know that there was compression. Once God got it in place, he locked it and formed a graben rift valley with faults that go down into this valley. This is the Jordan River Valley. And now it looks like this. It's expanding. How much expansion can it take? When will the critical pressure be reached down in the Gulf of Aqaba that causes it to rip apart? Only God knows. It will rip apart. And the question is when. I am convinced it will be during the tribulation period, and the initial ripping will start on the opening of the sixth seal, which is the first earthquake in the book of Revelation. And the complete opening will be finalized on the opening of the, on the pouring out of the last vial, the vials of wrath of God, in the 16th chapter of Revelation, in coordination with the battle of Armageddon. I think this is the beginning of it, Revelation 6:12. That's when you have the first earthquake. Every island and mountain removed out of their places in Revelation 6:12, and then in 6:14, you see the results of it. This is the last earthquake in the book of Revelation, 18:19. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great, in the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities, plural, of the nations, plural, fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the fury of his wrath. So I've shown you Saudi Arabia flowing across, subducting underneath Iran, riding up over the top, which has produced all the earthquakes. I've shown you how it looks from seismology, and this is the way that the whole Arabian plate is pushing in this way. This would be the Persian Gulf here, and it's subducting underneath Iran. That process has been going on for a long, long time. God seems to do everything in cycles. He makes hydrogen cycles, nitrogen cycles, oxygen cycles. Well, what is a cycle? It just keeps on regenerating itself. As new crust comes up on one side, it subducts and it's melted on the other side. Then it goes back up over here, and then it goes in a cycle. It's like God himself. I've never tried to relate anything particular to God, but a circle, I would say, is eternal. You never find the end of it. And God seems to create everything in cycles. It's self-renewing, self-generating. Even in our depraved bodies, there's a continual rebuilding process within us. Even though we're depraved and we're born dying, that process goes on within us. So I'm dealing with the Jordan River Valley that you see here. And there is one offshoot picture on this that goes from plain of Beth Elon down the plain of Jezreel and joins the Jordan Valley. You know, how many times have you heard me talk about that fault valley? Well, they had an earthquake over there today. I had a 4, which is pretty good for that valley. And they had one 2 months ago. The activity in that rift valley over there that goes from the tail of, that goes actually from Haifa down past the plain of Esther Elon down the valley of Jezreel. Right here is Armageddon. This is the tail of Megiddo. Right here is where the final great battle is supposed to take place. That fault runs all the way down through here. It's the only offshoot picture that goes off of this one. It's not there by accident because God is going to use it to destroy a large part of the Antichrist army, about 5/6 of it. I've been showing this diagram for 30 years, I guess. I got it from Hebrew University in Jerusalem when I was over there. It was made back in 1970. So I've been showing it for about 30 years. And this is from the, actually Tel Aviv, and it's from the what was then the U.S. Geological Survey, now down in Jerusalem. I want you to notice that this is Jerusalem right here, this green dot. I want you to notice that this fault is the what's known as the Jordan River Valley, headwater of the tributary system of Jordan, Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea. Right down here is where the northern tip of the Gulf of Aqaba, sometimes called the Gulf of Allah, exists. This crack on the western side goes all the way down to underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. This one on the eastern side goes all the way down to great underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. This is a valley that God paints together like modeling clay. Once he formed it, then he clamped it shut and put a certain tensional force on it that has kept the magma from coming up for a very long time. When he rips this land open, and he will, because he's the one that opened the Gulf of Aden, he's the one that ripped open the valley that goes down between Ethiopia and Sudan, he's the one that ripped open the Red Sea, he's the one that ripped open the Gulf of Suez, and God is the one who opened up the Gulf of Aqaba or Elat. The next place to rip is right up through here. One of the interesting things, I've told people about this fault for 30 years. Did you know there have been preachers that say they don't believe that? They've had earthquakes all along this thing for a long time. This is the fault that goes underneath the valley. It's not theoretical. It's not the subject of my imagination. I didn't make this diagram. It was made in Israel. And oddly enough, isn't it strange that one fault like this branches off and goes all the way down to the underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. It goes close to it. But it doesn't go all the way down to the magma. But from right here to right here is 1,600 furlongs. And there are two faults here that are going to open up in the tribulation period. And they're going to literally produce chaos. Now, this is the Red Sea down here. This is the Gulf of Aqaba, or the Gulf of Elat. This is where all the tension and pressure is building up. On this side, you have the Sinai plate, the Arabian plate. They're locked together, tight. Now, this whole fault here is locked together, tight. You're getting tension and pressure in there build up. It's called a continental breakup by a leaky transform, the Gulf of Elat or Aqaba. The Gulf is a newly formed plate boundary between Arabia and Sinai. God's been forming that for a very long time. Now, that place that I showed you just a moment ago, this is the same place, the Gulf of Elat, the Gulf of Aqaba. I want you to notice, and this comes from Earth Science Journal out of Israel. I want you to notice that right here, in this area, is where you're getting your major tensional pressure buildups on both sides. This is where your rip's going to occur. The only thing we don't know, scientists don't know, is when. And right here is where the tensional pressure is building up. Incidentally, this is where the volcanoes are on this side. And over here is where you've had a lot of tensional pressure build up in this area underneath the subduction zone itself, which is remelting all the stuff that's coming up. Now, this is the fault line. Jerusalem is right here. This fault line is outside the city of Jerusalem. It's about 25 miles across here, maybe 30. And then you hit the first fault. This is the western fault that goes down to the underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. This is the eastern fault that goes down to the underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. From right here to right here, this narrow point where this fault line branches off, is exactly 1,600 furlongs. God made that fault, and God put it there. Now, let me talk about something for just a moment that's interesting. God has been spreading the continents for a very long time. He spread this open, then he spread this open, and the next thing he's going to spread open is this. And when God spreads the things like this open, they're known as flood basalts or plateau basalts. Plateau basalts are believed to represent the initial stage of continental rifting and provide direct evidence of the nature of volcanic activity along divergent plate margins. So when this critical pressure is reached right here, this is going to rip open, and you're going to have a raging flood basalt plain that will go down, that will go north in the Jordan River Valley. Now, all of these diagrams and charts came from standard geological textbooks. This is flood basalt, sometimes called plateau basalt. If you have a fissure eruption, you have a line like this that looks like blood oozing up from the earth. But whenever you have two faults separated like that in a rift valley, and they're ripped apart, up from the bottom comes the liquid rock called magma. It comes up and it fills the valley. In the case of the Jordan River Valley, it's going to fill it to a depth of 5 feet. God's been using the earth for a very long time. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In the Hebrew language, this says, I will destroy them along with the earth. God took these tectonic plates, which are the great deep, and he lifted them up in certain areas and flooded the earth. And the Bible indicates that the fountains of the great deep were broken up in these scriptures. And God used the earth to fulfill the destruction of mankind that he had prophesied in the 6th chapter of Genesis. Now, during the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, God opened those cracks on both sides of the Jordan River Valley, really only on one. He can open them up anywhere he wants. There was the crack on the southeastern part of the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah sat. They were right over that eastern fault line. God opened it up. Up out of the earth shot fire and brimstone, went up into the first heaven, our atmosphere, and came down upon them and destroyed them. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On this time, you're going to see flood basalt plains, volcanic eruptions, all over the earth. This is the cauldron of God. Earth is infernal near the edge of a lava lake in the Marum crater. Gases bursting the surface launch volcanic bombs, then take shape as noxious clouds. These are things that are happening every day all over the earth. But during the tribulation period, there are going to be thousands of volcanic eruptions. The greatest destruction that's ever been known since God made Adam is coming on this earth, and not very many people even believe that. They think it's kind of humorous. But this is God's earth. This is the way he made it. In the interior here, all this red that you see is magma. Great underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. These huge pieces of the earth's crust float on them. In some places, they're subducting and melting the crust. In other places, it's rising and forming the crust. The whole, put this as the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. It's forming the crust. Go across and it's subducting on this side, it's subducting on this side, and that's how the whole thing works. It works like a cycle. As old matter is changed, new matter is formed, and it's a repetitious process, and this is the blood of the earth. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood during this time, and shall not more cover her slain, those who were raptured, and their bodies came out from the grave, at what we call the rapture. I don't think there are very many people that would dispute that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, refers to the rapture of the saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isaiah speaks of exactly the same thing about 800 years before. Some 700, 800 years before. Isaiah 26:19, thy dead men shall live. That's the resurrection of the dead. Together with my dead body shall they arise. That tells us it's going to be at the time that Isaiah's body arises. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. This is the rapture, where the saved, like Isaiah, come out, and the earth will cast up their bodies, and they will be gloriously changed. Now he warns Israel. He says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. That's your tribulation period. Then he describes what it's going to be like and what God's going to do. Verse 21. Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Which slain? Context, verse 19. Those that bodies that came out of the dead, raptured, gloriously changed, and shall no more cover her slain. Those that were cast out back in verse 19. And this is the blood of the earth that's going to come up from underneath it. This is what the blood of the earth looks like. It's going to come up on both sides of this crack in this area. And you're going to have a raging flood basalt plain. And you're going to have quite a few of them all over the earth. But one of the biggest ones will be right here in Israel. 1,600 furlongs or 185 miles from here to here up that Jordan River Valley. And it's going to cause some amazing geological transformation. As it goes across the Iceland today, every once in a while you'll have this liquid rock coming up, lava when it hits the surface, magma if it's underneath. And this is what is known as the Hamaki, or the Dom in the Old Testament, Hamaki New Testament, Dom in the Old Testament. This is the blood of the earth. This is pierce. This is the fire of the earth. These are pillars and columns of smoke, clouds that come up from the volcanic eruptions. That is precisely what Joel is talking about in Joel 2:30. And I will show wonders in the heaven and the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. That's the Hebrew word dom. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. That's the Hebrew word dom. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. The moon's going to take on a blood red color. The sun's going to be blotted out. And you're going to see blood and fire and pillar of smoke all over the earth along those red lines. And nobody's ready for it. Nobody. It's just something that's in a book. And there it is, and that's interesting. When I first started doing these lecture series, people said, when the Bible says blood, it means blood. And I very quickly let them know, without question, that's not the right thing to say. It's not the right thing to say at all. If you make the statement, when the Bible says blood, it means blood, meaning that it can only be real blood. But when the Bible says Hamati or Dom, it means Hamati or Dom. Now, Hamati and Dom are translated blood. That's the English word. Hamati and Dom are the Greek word, Hebrew word, inspired language. So when the Bible says Hamati, it means Hamati. And when the Bible says Dom, it means Dom. But the question is, what do they mean? There are four kinds identified in the Bible. Four kinds of Hamati and Dom. Four kinds of blood. Number one, there's the blood of the human. Number two, there's the blood of the animal. Number three, there's the blood of the plant. Grapes are said to have blood. And number four, there's the blood of the earth. So yes, that's Hamati and Dom. And either one of those words can be used to make any one of these things. Grapes don't have human blood in them, but the Bible indicates more than once that the Hebrew grape has a blood red liquid in it. The word Hamati in the New Testament or Dom in the Old Testament simply means this: any liquid having a blood red color. And so that's something that a person needs to know and be aware of. This is the most authoritative Greek lexicon of modern times. You won't find any more modern one. And you won't find one that's as large as this set of lexicons, Gerhard Kittel's Theological Dictionary of the Greek New Testament. There's 10 volumes to it. Here's what he says concerning the use of the apocalyptic, that's the revelation, the word hama or hamati. It signifies the red color similar to blood. It doesn't have to be real blood. It can be, but doesn't have to be. Which indicates eschatological end-time terrors in earth and heaven, such as war. Acts 2:19. Hail and fire, Hamati, Revelation 8:7. The changing of water, Revelation 8:8, 11:6, 16:3. The covering of the moon, Revelation 6:12, and Acts 2:20. And the judgment of the nations, Revelation 14:20. And Revelation 14:20 is the one that's really important, and what we're going to try to get to today, if I possibly can. Now, in all these scriptures that you're looking at here, Revelation 8:7, Revelation 8, Revelation 8:8, Revelation 6:12, and Revelation 14:20, that is not human blood. It is not animal blood. It is not the blood of grapes. It's the blood of the earth, and it's that liquid rock. God made the earth, and if he wants to identify that as Hamar, Hamati, or Dom in the Old Testament, he may do so. This is the most authoritative lexicon ever written in the English language. It's the one that all the rest of them came from. I've got one of the originals. Not an original, but a copy of an original. Hamar, anything like blood, anything blood red, the appearance of clotted blood, red glass, blood red cloak, anything that's blood-like. Hematite, which is iron ore, and that's what basaltic magma has as its highest iron content. It turns the water blood red. Hematite is a red iron ore. It can be anything like blood. It can be anything blood red or of blood, anything looking like blood, or anything of the nature of blood. So because preachers had taught that for so long as human blood, I had a real struggle when I first began this, and I had to go back to the original lexicons to make my case. But I'm a stickler for the Word of God being inspired. I'm absolutely positive it is. But you've got to go back and look at the original language. This is a lexicon, Greek and English lexicon, by Edward Robinson, Doctor of Divinity and of Doctor of Letters. 1850, Hamar. So anything is said to be or become blood or as blood by turning to a dark red color. He lists Revelation 6:12, Revelation 8:8, Revelation 11:6, and Revelation 16:3 as not being human blood or the blood of a grape, but to be the blood of the earth. Now, I went through this earlier. This is the first earthquake in Revelation. I went through this last Wednesday night, talked about Revelation 6:12 being the first earthquake in the book of Revelation. Went through and talked about it at length. You're looking at it on the screen. I did the same thing, told you how all the earthquakes were contained between the first one in Revelation 6:12 and the last one in Revelation 16:18. And I showed you all the things that happened in between. Covered that at length. Now, God's vengeance begins and ends in Jordan's Rift Valley. That's where it began. That's where it ends. God's vengeance begins and ends in Jordan's Rift Valley, right here. Revelation 6:12 through 14. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and isle were moved out of their places. I've already covered that previously in this lecture series that we're doing on Wednesday nights. Now, take a look at another event that is occurring at the same time that this earthquake sets in motion a chain of activity. Notice the last part in Revelation 6:14. The heavenly part is a scroll and is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. Now, look at Isaiah 34:4-9. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the fig tree, and as a fig tree, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Where is Idumea? Where was Idumea? Where this was written. Right here. And he says his sword is going to come down, shoo, right there. Shoo! That's the Graben Rift Valley with a fault on both sides. That's where the greatest geological transformation is going to occur. That's where the land's going to go up and down and spread apart. That's where it's going to be chewed up. And it's going to turn into the beginnings of a raging flood basalt plain. And it's going to open the way for the Dead Sea to drain into the Red Sea. Now, notice, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven, it shall come down upon Idumea, on the people of my curse to judgment. This is going to occur during the tribulation period. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys of rams, and the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah in a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Where was Bozrah? It was the capital of Edom, or Idumea. It was the capital. Remember that, please. And a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. The Antichrist troops are going to be down here in this area. They're going to be utterly annihilated. And the unicorns. There is no such thing as a unicorn. When the King James translators came to this, they had no idea what the Hebrew word meant. So they said it had a horn on it. So they assumed it must be a unicorn. It's more likely a rhinoceros. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Now here we go. This is tribulation period. This is Idumea. This is what's going to happen to that crack in the crust of the earth. This is where a lot of the geological transformation began. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. He said, this is what's going to happen to all those people because of the way they've treated my people Israel. Now notice, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch. This is a mixture of lava and land and dirt. And the dust thereof into brimstone. This is brimstone from the volcanic eruptions mixing in with the dirt. This is the initial stage when it first occurs. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. That's exactly what burning pitch would be. A combination of all this mess in the initial stages and the land being lifted up. Now notice what he says in Isaiah 63:1-4. This is talking about the vengeance of the Lord. Isaiah 63:1-4. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dried garments from Bozrah? Is that this is glorious in his apparel, traveling in greatness of his strength. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes as the Lion of Judah, having been rejected by Israel as the Lamb of God. And he comes in the greatness of his strength, and his wrath is going to be poured out in the Jordan River Valley, and the greatest degree of his wrath will be poured out from the southern tip of the Dead Sea down to the Gulf of Aqaba, which was the land of Edom or Idumea. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, this is Christ, this is the returned Messiah, the Lion of Judah. Wherefore, and now he's going to give a picture of his wrath. Wherefore, art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? This is the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God, performed by the returned Messiah when he returns to end the battle of Armageddon. I have trodden the winepress alone. God's going to carry out his wrath by himself. And of the people there was none with me. He did it all by himself. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. This is when he comes back. Joel 3:13-17. Put you in the sickle. Shoo! Right into Idumea. Eat them. For the harvest is ripe. Come you down. For the press is full. The winepress of Almighty God. Treaden by the wrath of God to the returned Messiah. The facts overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Remember how heaven to the heavenly bodies. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, from Jerusalem, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of the people and the strength of the children of Israel. Well, it's 2 minutes till, so I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to talk about this, Lord willing, when I come back from California. Revelation 14:17-20. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. There's a series of angels coming out. This one comes out with a sharp sickle. He's sent by God. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. God has given this angel the right to say when fire is going to be released in the earth. So he authorizes this angel that has the sickle to do something with it. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. This is the wine press. This is the wrath of God. Where is it going to go in? Right here is where Jerusalem sits, about 30 miles from the city.
And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth, shoot, right in this valley, and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. What is a winepress to a Hebrew? It's a rectangular trough in the rock of the earth. It's a lainos. That's what this word means. They would dig a rectangular trough in the rock of the earth. They would make one end higher than the bottom end. They would get up here and crush the grapes. That's why it was rectangular, long. And the juice would rain down, go down to the other end. If you looked at it from aloft, it was a rectangular trough dug in the rock of the earth. Every vineyard had one. And they would look. John looked down, and he had never seen one this large before. It was outside the city of Jerusalem. The winepress was trodden without the city. The city's back here. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came up out of the winepress. It didn't go down into it. These are not all the men that were killed in the Battle of Armageddon. There isn't that much blood on the earth. The word came out of it is ek. It means it came up out of the winepress itself. That's what this is. A rectangular trough in the rock of the earth. From the air, it would look like a great rectangular trough in the rock of the earth. A very long one, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, 185 miles. It came up to a depth of about 5 feet, which was the standard trading measure for horses. So, Lord willing, next, when I have to come back on Wednesday, next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday afterwards, I'll cover this in greater detail. We'll go through it in a great deal of detail. I think you'll find it very interesting. And I think you'll also find it very interesting what happens just before this occurs, according to the scripture. So, Bob, if you want to turn this thing off, well, I got through right on time.